to bring you to a verse that I've just been thinking about. But, I had been thinking just I don't know how long it's been, the last week or so, just thinking about in general, about the knowledge of God, right? And it's interesting how easy it is in our minds for something to sound very familiar to us, right? But I just want to encourage you in our hearing, right? In our hearing and listening to the Lord, that I think I've said this before to some extent, but I really want you to hear this, that there are so many times that when something sounds familiar to us, I really believe that we don't listen as intently because of its familiarity to us. But the one thing that you know is that if there were an area in your life that you walked perfectly in, right? Perfectly. That meant that you would have full knowledge in that area, right? That you would have a full knowledge of Christ in that area. That you would have, that the knowledge of God for you in that area would be full. And because that knowledge in that area would be full, then you would manifest fully, right? But so even in something as simple and as popular, and not obviously in all churches, but very popular, in a church, whether they deny it or accept it, right, healing can be a very popular thing that's very commonly heard. In other words, nobody gasps, right, when you mention healing in most places. But obviously, that's not something that we can push back on and kind of lean back and rest from and say, like, that's not something that I really want to hear the Lord on. I want to hear the Lord on some other juicy things or other things, right? What we need to be able to hear, and the one that we want to be able to know, is Him, right? Like, we want to know the Lord. We want to know the Lord. So in when the Lord begins to speak to you things about who He is and what He has, I think it would be easy for us to, again, kind of shrug off the knowledge of the fact that death has no dominion over the Lord. But again, as clear as that may sound to us, that death has no dominion over the Lord, and most people say, well, of course it doesn't, right? But it's not that well understood, because obviously if we had a full revelation of how Christ walked in that area, and how the glory, beholding the glory of the Lord and seeing how He walks there and how that relates to us, if we had full knowledge of that, obviously then we would walk fully in that. So it is, I guess it was a way, you know, the Lord just re-emphasizing in my mind, because, you know, many times the Lord brings me back. There are like staple things that the Lord brings me back to, and He brings me to them a lot, very frequently. In my mind, it just like a lot. I mean, I think if I have to say, pick one thing, it's probably the book of Ephesians. Like, those verses in Ephesians chapter 1 come to my mind a lot. But you know, and I don't know, like, it feels funny sometimes repeating something, because you think, like, oh, yeah, like, people don't want to hear this. Like, I find it to myself, like, when the Lord shows me that, like, I get all wound up and excited about it every time. But, you know, when I'm talking to people about it, you know, they heard that before, like, they don't want to hear it. But you know, the reason why it excites me so much is because I understand what it means to me. Like, I know that I don't walk perfectly in it, so I want to see it. Like, I want to know the Lord perfectly. I want to know the Lord fully. Even this morning when I was remembering about how Paul said, you know, that for him to repeat himself to them in his writings, in his letters, was profitable to them. You know, I don't know if it was Paul or Peter, but that's not the important thing. But the interesting thing is just to, you know, for us to be able to look at things like, you know, the divine health that we can walk in, that all of that comes from the knowledge of God, and that we wouldn't grow ever, you know, in this. We that want to listen to the Lord, we could even be dull in our hearing sometimes when it comes to certain things. Because you're like, yeah, like, almost, I don't think it's something that we do consciously, but that your mind's like, yeah, like it's waiting for something bigger. Like, tell me something more. Tell me something I haven't heard yet, right? But I think if we can approach the Lord in just listening to Him, and regardless of what it is that He brings up to your heart, like, be attentive to the things that He's telling you. I just think it's profitable. It's very profitable. So in Isaiah 11:9, you know, there's a verse there that I think we've seen several times, but it says that they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For it says, for For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So when you think about that, that there is a time coming when the knowledge of God, in other words, knowing the Lord, will be across the entirety of the earth. And obviously that doesn't mean that rocks know the Lord. It doesn't mean that creation knows the Lord. It means that all people across the world will know the Lord fully. Right? And that's an important thing to understand, that he's saying that the time will come where all people upon the earth will know him completely, fully. In other words, walk upon this earth with a complete and full knowledge of the Lord. Now what he says here is that there'll be no hurt nor destruction because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. So that means, if you look at that, that not the knowledge of the Lord is directly linked, right, to no corruption, right? That the knowledge of God is what is linked to no corruption. So when you understand, like, I personally believe, and maybe this is just opinion right now, but personally I believe that it is a good thing for me to have a diligence in my mind to want to know the Lord more, because that comes from the realization that I don't know the Lord fully. So I have an ongoing desire in my mind to know the Lord fully, right? And obviously, to people where stuff like this sounds like foolishness to them, they don't want to hear anything. They have better things to do in their mind. So, but obviously, to the Lord, that's the actual foolishness, right? That there is a God who has saved you, and that they don't have any time, nor do they think that it's of any importance and of any value to listen to the Lord. But when we, you know, when we have this diligence, like this thing that we have within us, this earnest desire to know him more, right? The thing that we have to know about that is that what that brings to manifestation in our lives is the deliverance or the liberty, right? In other words, what that brings out is our liberty. It brings about our salvation, right? Which really, I say liberty because that's been something just that the Lord has just been reminding me of, is the liberty that I have, that we possess. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and obviously he's on the inside of us, we have him and he has us, right? So where he is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we possess the liberty that we possess the liberty that we desire to walk in, and we possess the liberty that all creation desires to receive, right? What creation groans about, right, is, or the desire of creation is probably too much, but what creation desires to enter into, we'll just say it like that, but obviously we're not talking that trees have desires, but what it wants, or what it should have, is the life of God, right? That all things that are seen would have that life of God. In other words, to be as it was intended to be, right? To be as it was, as creation, to be as creation was intended to be. But our bodies is the one thing, right, that we desire to put on immortality. Like the mortality that this body walks in right now is not something that we know is still ours, right? Because the liberty that we walk in, I guess we do walk to some extent, but the full liberty that we possess is contrary, right, to mortality, right? Because that's the liberty that we have is a liberty and a freedom from corruption, right? A freedom from sin and a freedom from death. So because we possess already on the inside of us a liberty and a freedom from sin and from death, in other words, from corruption, we have liberty from it already. What we desire to walk in is that liberty, that liberty would be made manifest. And from this verse, you see it so clearly that hurt and destruction, which are permanent and not temporal things of this world, but things that are of God and things that are of heaven, right, are manifest through the full knowledge of the Lord. So when people know the Lord fully, right, when people know the Lord fully, then they will walk fully in liberty. right? They will walk in that liberty. They will, but the thing that's really cool that for us to see is that, you know, in verses, I think it's in Galatians, I'm not sure right now. It's either Galatians or Romans 8, but that it says that that for us to walk in the Spirit, and that if we walk in the Spirit, we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that is, in other words, that is walking in the knowledge of the Lord, right? Because the Spirit of God on the inside of us is to teach us. So you can't walk in anything spiritual without understanding of the spiritual, right? Right? We have to discern spiritual things spiritually, right? And carnal things are discerned carnally. But we can't walk, quote unquote, in the Spirit without seeing in the Spirit, right? Without, and people say that, and then they get all these flaky ideas. But what he's talking about is to walk in the knowledge of the Lord. If you walk in the knowledge of the Lord, you don't walk in hurt and destruction, right? You don't walk in corruption. And obviously, I think many of us walk in a level of liberty, but I think we can admit that, you know what, there is farther to go, and there is more for us to hear and understand about the liberty that we possess. And the way to understand the liberty that we possess and have already is to understand the liberty that Christ walks in, the liberty that he possesses, how his exaltation above worldly things, above worldly powers, above a curse of the earth. You know what I'm saying? He walks above all of those things. And obviously, and the blessing of God, the unity of the Spirit that he has with the Father. So when we say, you know what, Lord, I have more to learn and to hear from you about this liberty that I possess. I have more to understand because I desire personally to walk in the full knowledge of God. Like to you know, sometimes in people's minds is, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. I get it. Almost like, you know, like it's funny that people, especially people that find the gospel foolish, they say, yeah, I understand. Yeah, he came, he died on the cross for our sins, and we're forgiven. Yeah, like, but you know what? The funny thing, the idiocy of that is that it's so ridiculous for someone to think that they walk in the full knowledge of God because they have this mental assent to that, because they approach the gospel like they approach a math book, right? Like you read a history book one time and you think you got it, right? Like yeah, I know that. And they think that knowledge is remembering, right? That if you can remember it, then you know it. But obviously that's not so, right? Because we remember tons of verses, but yet we don't walk in the liberty, in the full liberty of the knowledge of God. So there is definitely a growing and a need that we have for our diligence to continue to listen to the Lord. That familiarity or looking at something or even the remembrance of something does not indicate full knowledge of anything, right? It just means you remember it. So God is never asking us to work towards remembrance or to work or to lean on our own understanding so that we can feel like we've achieved some level of knowledge, because that's where things like Bible schools and many theologians go wrong. That it's all about getting knowledge, but what they're talking about is the ability to retain information, right? But I'm not looking to retain information. I want to know the Lord. There is a difference between knowing him who is spiritual and who is unseen versus, right, being able to retain information. Any person can retain information. Any person can retain information, but that doesn't mean they walk in it, right? Listen, we live in a world today where people talk about it, and I'll see if I can find it for you, and it's not important right now for me to start looking for it, but where people talk about and preach or even teach liberty, right? Liberty. In other words, reformation for a person that's in prison, right? Healing for the mind. So you have all of these professions that talk about that they can bring healing to the human mind, bring restoration to a person who's abusive, right? Be able to correct the anger problems of an individual, right? People that are saying that they could extend people's life, right? People that are saying that they could fight against depressive disorders of the mind and all of these things, right? But all of these people that are talking, right, that have all of these titles and have been schooled, all that they have done is retain information. That's all they've done. They've retained information, but they promise liberty, right? But they themselves are something very important. They are slaves to corruption, right? So there is no person, and we should hear this, right? There is not a single individual that is a slave to corruption that can promise you liberty, right? And I'm not saying that there are not worldly things that doctors and scientists and stuff can see that can be a temporary help to you. But the reason why we have to get temporary help into our mind is that they cannot give you liberty. Liberty and freedom from corruption can only come from Jesus. That's it. There is no other place where you can get liberty or freedom from corruption. In other words, possessing the ability to stop and reverse, right, corruptibility. In other words, that you don't have to die, right? That means a freedom and a ceasing from corruption. In other words, where it stops. Nobody can give that. Nobody can get that. That's a little thing called eternal life, right? There is no person that has retained any vast amount of information, because apart from Christ, who is reforming your mind, that is not retaining information, that is the reformation of your mind. That, in other words, that is your mind being completely renewed. The old is gone, the new has come, and everything that is new is of God. But when you listen to people, you have to be very clear in your mind. Are they talking to me about temporal things, or are they talking to me about spiritual things, right? Are they talking to me about temporal things, or are they talking to me about heavenly things? And you can take temporary help, but it needs to be established in your mind that that's exactly what you're getting. Because the world does not talk about it like it's temporary help. The world tells you, you come to me and I will rid you of this mental illness. I will rid you. You take this pill and you will be delivered from this, and you will be helped from that, and you will be done with this, and you can put this behind you. And then when you watch commercials, right, a person goes from being depressed to skipping around on green grass, right? But that's not, liberty does not come from people that retain information. The retention of information does not give liberty, right? The renewing of the mind, right, is how what we have is manifest outwardly in our body. That's why he said that if we possess the Spirit of God on the inside of us, that by that Spirit he would give life, or he would quicken our mortal body. By that Spirit, why? Because of him, right, is the reason why we possess liberty, right? So it's just a really cool thing to be able to understand, you know, all of these years when the Lord has talked to us about even reading our Bible, how you read Scripture differently, right? How you read Scripture differently. Lord, I don't want temporal help. I don't want to be an individual who is not saved and just receiving off of someone else's revelation, right? I want to know you. So the track that I am on when I am reading Scripture or when I'm talking to you, Lord, is I want to know you. I want to know you, right? So the desire of the church so many times to call people forward for altar calls and lay hands on people that are sick and watch them recover, or see people that are needing to be prayed for and to pray for them and give them some temporary help. You know, it should be clear to people. It should be clear to people what they're getting. Because if this is not yours, all you have done is gotten temporary help. And I have seen people attend churches and be healed and leave and never come back, right? Because there's a misunderstanding. I've seen people get baptized in water and leave churches and never come back, right? Because there's this thing that they think that like I've gotten everything that I needed to get, right? But they have to understand the things that are temporary or the things that are of this world. Being dunked in a tank doesn't any more make you spiritual or godly than you taking a bath the previous morning, right? It's just things that are symbols of the reality, right? So when we, you know, when you see something manifest, in other words, something that you're observing with your eyes, with your physical eyes, we should know that the things that we're seeing with our physical eyes are temporary things, and that the things that we are given that are permanent come from seeing him who is unseen. In other words, from seeing what you have that is eternal on the inside of you. And that can be manifest, right? That can be manifest, but that manifestation is something that is seen, right? That can be categorized as something being carnal. But when we understand, Lord, I don't want to live from temporary help to temporary help, even though being helped is a great thing. Listen, when you're suffering with something, or you're hurting, or something is going wrong, and something helps you out temporarily, regardless of what it is and who it came from, you're thankful that you got help temporarily, that you got rid of a headache, right? That you are not so down anymore, that you were, you know, that you cut yourself and someone sewed you up, right? We're thankful for all of those temporary things. But it's just to be able to put it in the right perspective when you're seeking eternal things, right? That we need to put that which is temporal and understand in our mind. Listen, the revelation of who Christ is will give you the right temporal view of the things of this world. It's just passing, right? We can't be so enthralled with the glory of temporal things that we miss, right? Or we don't seek after the glory of the eternal one, right? Because that's what happened, right? People will reject the glory of God that they have once heard of, and they will trade it in for the glory of things that are seen, right? They will trade it in for the glory of things that are seen, right? Because why? Because that is now. Because that's something that they can get without knowing God at all, without any process of hearing and learning and understanding, right? In other words, a self-gratification now, instead of saying, you know what, Lord, I understand how temporal things are right now, Lord, but I want to be able to begin to partake in my life of that which is eternal, right? In other words, that even though eternal things have physical manifestations, but the physical manifestation can just continue, right? The physical manifestation can just continue from glory to glory, right? The physical manifestation can just continue. Your body can continue to be transformed from glory to glory by what? By the eternity that you have in you, by that which is constant, by that which does not wane, by that which does not change, right? From the inside of us, right? From the inside of us. Let me bring you to a verse here real quick. If we can go to 2 Peter verse 1. 2 Peter verse 1. This is definitely profitable for us, right? 2 Peter verse 1 and verse number 4. And it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, right? So we have escaped the corruption that's in the world. So that's liberty, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, then that means that the liberty that you possess in you, right, is a complete escape from the things of this world, right? A translation from the things of this world, a receiving of heavenly things, us being made a new creation. And one of the things we are no more are slaves to corruption. We are no more slaves to corruption. When we're a slave to corruption, that means you are overcome by that which you are a slave to, right? So being a slave of corruption means you are overcome. And overcome, don't misunderstand, this doesn't mean like that this is something that overtakes you from time to time. A slave is an individual that has no choice, right? A slave is an individual that is under submission to corruption. You submit to it. In other words, you have to bow a knee to it because it is greater and you are inferior to it. Right? It is greater and you are inferior to it in a sense, right? So he says that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He said, and beside this, beside the fact that we have escaped corruption, beside the fact that we are no longer slaves to corruption, he said, beside this, giving all diligence and add in your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, if these things be in you, if you possess these things and they abound, right? If they're in you and they come out of you, right? If they're in you and they abound, it says, they make you that you shall neither be barren, right? Barren, it says, nor unfruitful. Barren, it says, barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. So remember, we just read in Isaiah 11 that the whole earth will be filled full of the knowledge of the Lord. When the whole earth is full, in other words, where every person, right, is full of the knowledge of the Lord, then there is no hurt and there is no destruction. But why is that, right? Because there is a freedom from liberty, and that freedom from liberty is not just possessed, but it's manifest fully, right? So it's manifest fully in our bodies and manifest fully upon the earth, right? And obviously that's why I believe it's in Romans that it talks about, is it in Romans or, I think it's in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about, I'll just read it to you real quick. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption or the slavery of corruption. This is Romans 8:21. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So you see what creation is going to enter into? It's going to be able to share from the liberty that we already have, the liberty, the freedom. Right? Listen, at any age, you know how awesome it is to understand that there is a way, right? If that person is not saved, that there is a way to walk and live, right? Free from the corruption, free from being a slave to corruption, right? There's not a single individual that when they are sick, right, and in a bed, that enjoys feeling that way. What do they want? Liberty from that. Oh, how long is this gonna go on? I just wanna feel better, right? So what are we looking for? We're looking for liberty. We're looking for liberty. If the person is not saved, right, they would love the opportunity to experience liberty from that. But obviously when you live temporal, you're just going from thing to thing. You wanna get free from that at that moment, and then you go back and your mind is back on whatever. But when you're in the midst of it, right, you're willing to listen to anything. You're willing to do anything to be able to receive. To walk in that liberty. But the cool thing is that people, right, don't have to live, right, ignorant lives and don't have to live from manifestation to manifestation, right? But we can live fully a heart that can be completely rested in the knowledge of God, right? Completely rested in the knowledge of God. So since I know that the Lord desires to reveal himself fully to me, that does something to my diligence, right? I'm not looking to feel better when I'm sick. I'm not looking to just get relief when I feel that I'm not getting any. I want to know him fully. I want to know him completely. I want to know who he is and all that is his. I want to understand fully the glory that is his, which is understanding fully the glory that I possess, that I walk in, that is mine. The liberty that Christ has that is all his, to understand the liberty completely that is mine, right? That is ours today. And it says there that in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, neither be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, it's just an interesting thing that when we talk about, like we started at the beginning of the service, like about remembering, right? I don't even know how many times I would not feel well and I would remember, right, in 1 Peter 2:24 about that by his stripes I'm healed, right? But retention of information would never make me well, right? Just because I can retain a vast amount of information does not mean that I'm walking in the reality of that, right? Because we have to clearly put this in perspective, right? Retention of information and revelation are not the same thing, right? Retention of information and revelation is not the same thing. To our hearing, we hear something and we can say in our mind like, yeah, I've retained that before. I've heard that, which what we're saying is I've retained that before. That sounds familiar to me. So when something sounds familiar to you, we can easily grow dull in that hearing, right? To say I got this. I've heard that. I've retained that information before. Like you're reminding me, but I already knew that, right? You're reminding me, but I already knew that. But if what he's saying here is that if we, in any of these things that we lack, And obviously for an unbeliever, it could be that they don't possess these things at all. So if they don't possess these things and they don't walk with them, they walk in the blindness, right? That the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they don't see the glorious light of the gospel. But it's applicable to us also, because we can be people that possess so much, right? But in our minds have forgotten, right? And the only way to not forget, and the forgetting that he's talking about here, is the acknowledgement of the Lord, which can only come from a revelation, right? Acknowledging God is not just saying his name, right? Acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways is not just saying, like, Lord, like, yeah, like, I consider you in this, right? But it's a consideration in your mind that comes from revelation, right? It's a consideration that says, this is how it is. This is the truth of this, right? And even though I'm not seeing it, I'm not like naming him when I'm doing something. I'm not saying, I'm not confused, right? When you acknowledge the Lord, it's not about this confusion in your mind, like you just don't know what to say, and you just say, oh, I just acknowledge you, Lord. Like, you're not acknowledging him, right? Because you're confused. So in other words, there needs to be hearing that would continue in order for your thought and your heart to be straight. In other words, for your mind to be able to see the truth, right? So the things that we acknowledge God fully in are the things that we walk in revelation of. So when you walk in the revelation of something, you're acknowledging. That word, even that word acknowledge, comes from knowing, right? The acknowledgement comes from knowing. So you acknowledge the Lord, you're considering him. In other words, like Abraham considered not his body, right? Or Sarah, right, and her barrenness, right? But he considered the Lord. That is not that at that time what it's talking about is that when he didn't consider his body, is that he was fully assured, right? So he was fully assured of the truth. He was fully assured of the truth. So he considered not his body, right, regardless of what it looked like, but instead he acknowledged the Lord. He considered God, right? So we can definitely go past just a simple acknowledgement of God, like you would acknowledge somebody walking in the room and say, hey, how you doing, right? But I don't really want to know you. I actually don't even really want to know how you're doing, right? When people say that, oh, how you doing? They're not really asking you how you're doing, because if you start telling them, they'll go do something else. They really don't care to hear how you're doing. They're just saying hi. In other words, hi, say hi back, and then you go do what you were doing, right? But when it's between us and the Lord, like, no, I want to know you, Lord, right? And when I know you, then my acknowledgement of you is the acknowledgement of the suffering of Christ and of the glory that followed. In other words, I'm acknowledging what I know, what I have become fully assured of. And there is a quote-unquote acknowledging that we do that doesn't come from a full knowledge yet, right? But there are things that we understand and things that we know. So we continue to what? We continue to hear. So I'm not trying to take away any things that we say and try to correct our words. What I'm saying is it is more important to know the Lord, right, then come to a place in our lives where we're retaining information, right? Let's be people that know him and have a diligence that is going towards one thing, and that is to know you, Lord, right? To know you, Lord, to be able to behold in a mirror, right? To be able to behold in a mirror. Because even when we talk about, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but it's in a mirror that you're seeing, right? It's in a mirror. Like, we cannot forget that what you want, what you're beholding should desire to be in is a mirror, right? We're not looking to retain information with, it's one way, right? Where you're just looking at something, right? It doesn't reflect anything. It's just retaining information, right? Just going on and retaining information. We think that if we can rehearse something, then we've actually received revelation. But that's the farthest thing from the truth. So reading scripture is not about revelation. Listen, if you're a person that you say, well, I don't know, like I don't even remember chapter and verse. Obviously, you can remember chapter and verse because the Lord can bring to your heart chapter and verse. But it is not, believe me, it is not the foremost thing on my mind to be able to remember chapter and verse. I want to know him even if I don't remember the chapter and verse that talks about it, right? Because it's a person that I want to know. It's Jesus that I want to know. It's his glory that I want to behold. And if he wants to, after he's showing me himself and after he's manifesting himself to me, if he wants to then go ahead and show me the verse that talks more about it, I welcome that entirely, right? Because that's an awesome thing to be able to teach with. But you can definitely know the Lord and never have, be completely a person that cannot read at all, right? It was never schooled, never went to school, never had the ability to read and be the wisest person upon the face of the earth, right? Because the wisdom of God is not retention of information. The wisdom of God is the knowledge of him. The wisdom of God is the knowledge of him, right? The knowledge of him. So, listen, that'll begin to shift our minds and in our hearts, right? To what truly is acknowledging the Lord, right? To what truly is the liberty that we already possess, to this whole thing about us, about Christ abounding, the fruitfulness of the Spirit, right? That it is about knowing the Lord. And obviously we've heard this many times that faith is knowing Jesus, right? But this just gives you, just adds a little bit more fuel to that fire. Faith is knowing the Lord, right? Faith is knowing him. Faith is knowing him. Thank you, Jesus. Faith is knowing him. You know, this last little piece here where it says in 2 Peter, where we were in chapter 1, where he says that you would neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was actually going to proceed to verse number 9, but that is just good in of itself, right? Fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. So you see how one-sided that is and how singular that is? Fruitful in just knowing me. Fruitful in just knowing me. That's all. I'm not, it's not about retaining information even about you, Lord, right? I just want to know you, right? Knowing comes from him teaching you. Knowing does not come from retaining information about Jesus. Knowing comes from him, right? There is, you know, the reason why the wise of this world, it's difficult for them to enter into the kingdom, because when a person believes themselves to be intelligent, they believe that they can retain information quickly. So they're like, what's the big deal? So you read a book. Wow, right? But what they don't understand is that by the knowledge of man, God made it so that they could never know him. What makes a person that believes himself to be so intellectual and so smart and so intelligent, what makes them so foolish is that they can't know him, right? So in other words, they lack all of the knowledge of God. They lack all of it. So even though they think they possess much knowledge, of that which is important, which is the knowledge of God, which is the only thing that can bring eternity, which is the only thing that can actually bring help to another human being, which is the only thing that can actually bring liberty to an individual in any area of their lives, which is the only thing that insulted the Pharisees, right? The only thing that insulted the Pharisees is that Jesus said that they were slaves, that they needed what? Salvation. That was appalling to them. Why? Because they believed themselves to be so smart and they retained so much information about Scripture. We're not in bondage to anybody, yet they're slaves to it, right? They were slaves to bondage, slaves to this world, yet and basically ridiculed the Savior that was standing in front of them because he was talking to them about the fact that they needed to be saved, that they needed salvation, right? Listen, walking and having a good day, right? Having a good day where you're free from pain, or a good day where you're feeling good and you're not depressed, is not liberty. So it's fine to have a good day. It's just important to understand that you're talking about temporal things, right? When you don't walk in the fullness of who he is, our diligence should be in seeking him. Because just because you had a good day don't mean tomorrow is going to be one. So your good day today is no promise of a good day tomorrow. But in Christ, we have a hope and an expectation for good days to continue for the rest of our existence, right? For the rest of our days in the flesh and for the rest of our days eternally, right? Why is that? Why can we walk with such a surety, with such a sure expectation? Because we possess something that the world does not have, and that is the knowledge of him. And we possess on the inside of us the Spirit that is of God, that is life unto us because of righteousness. So we have everything. We have everything that we could ever need, but our diligence is in what? Is in listening to the Lord and hearing him and wanting to know him. So if you ever felt uncomfortable because you hear us teach about the fact that you don't have to have your Bible plastered to your forehead, and there is this religious thing that says to you that without you having a Bible, you can't really talk to the Lord, then you know what? What you're trying to do is retain information, and you're holding on to something, right, because you're afraid of not being able to just know the Lord by yourself. And this is an assurance that I'm giving you, that if Christ is on the inside of you, you already have everything that you need inside of you to know him. And you have no need to hold on to any crutch in your life, right? But you can know him fully by yourself on the inside of you. Is it okay to be helped by somebody else? Of course it is. That's why the church has been established, right? But know what you're getting. Help, right? You're getting help. But God wants you to know him. Is it good to get help? Oh, yes, it is. I like to be helped. I like to be helped until the day I know the Lord fully. I will take any help that leads to me knowing him more. But I know what I'm getting. I'm getting help. What I want is to know him myself, right? I want to know him fully myself and walk in that fullness myself, right? Myself. So I have no need that any man teach me. But if someone's going to, if the Spirit of God in somebody else is going to help me, so that would cause me, right, to want to imitate the diligence that I see in faith in another individual, that's a good help, right? That's a good help. But we have to understand the difference always between worldly help, spiritual help, and knowing the Lord, right? Those are different things. Those are different things. And when our diligence is about seeking the Lord and listening to the Lord ourselves, right? Right? Because we want to come to that place when we acknowledge God in all of our ways, right? Obviously, we don't do that today. We're not acknowledging God in all our ways. We don't consider him fully in everything, where we completely reject the things that we're seeing and we walk in the liberty of the Lord that we possess on the inside of us. We don't do that fully. But we can, right? We can. Why? Because we can know him fully, because he's withholding nothing, right? So here's the how we can close this. We have God on the inside of us that is withholding nothing. Holding nothing back from us, right? Holding nothing back from us. So the only thing that remains is a continuance, right? A perseverance in just the one thing. Because what happens? If we don't persevere, we forget. Right? And then our thinking stays stagnant where it is. And obviously that's not profitable for us regardless of where we are. For none of us here, and no person hearing me right today, is it profitable to stop where you are. But a diligence to be able to continue to say, Lord, just simply like that, right? You get up in the morning and you say, yeah, Lord, today, Lord, I want to know you more. Today, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to hear you, Lord, and I want to become established, you know. And I'll close this, but to be able to say, Lord, I want to become rooted and grounded, Lord, in you. In other words, established, fully established in everything that he's done. Have full knowledge of everything that he's done and of his glory today, right, and the glory that we possess on the inside of us.